So you got the Hanukkah out of the closet, right? And you lit the candles. Oh, and you get out presents? And with some luck, you've even got some presents, huh? Yeah, great. Hanukkah is here. So, of course, we'd all this because back in the year 163 before the Common Era, we beat them. We defeated the Greco-Assyrians. We beat them, of course, because we were better than they. Isn't that what gave us that victory, which now we connect to the miracle that caused a flame to stay lit for 8 days? Well, let's step back a little bit, please. Please, do we Jews really claim victory because we are better? Do we claim that God extended his hand to us in miracle because somehow we are superior? We never talk about this on Hanukkah, do we? I'll grant you that we don't make any claim that military victory alone makes the winner superior. Because that has to do, of course, with, you know, how much money you got, fiscal assets. It has to do with superior technology, being able to build a whole military process. But when military victory is combined with God's blessings of nothing less than a miracle, it more than moves us in the direction of the conviction that the winning party is better than the one who loses. If we apply that to the notion recorded often in the Torah and in contemporary life, that we Jews are the chosen people, then the sense that we are better somehow emerges at the apex of the thought process. But let's make a comparison, shall we? Hanukkah and Pesach, strange as that might sound. Our wonderful Midrashic scholars, they know how to make a connection with everything else. They make a connection between the two holidays, even though the comparison is a little bit out of the ordinary. These scholars take note, and we read about that today in the Torah reading about Joseph and how the Israelites, Joseph and Jacob, of course, and his sons, came into the promised land, into the land of Egypt, right? These scholars take note that the prominent first settlement of the Israelites who came with Jacob to Egypt was Goshen, the land of Goshen, spelled Gimel, Shin, Hey, and Nun. So now, do me a favor, let's spin the Hanukkah dreidel, the dreidel. Every time we spin the dreidel, we make a very powerful statement. Nes gadol hayasham. A great miracle happened there. We imply that none other than God determined that he favors us over our enemies, and by implication that we are better than they are. So, let's go back to that Midrash. Let's take the four Hebrew letters of our ancient home in Egypt, Goshen. Gimel, Shin, Hey, and Nun. And place those letters on the dreidel. And when you spin it, you come up with the same letters, but in different order. Nun, Gimel, Hey, Shin. Nes Gadol Hayasham. A great miracle occurred there. So Pesach and Hanukkah are thus compared. Which victory has the greater meaning in our history? Of course, Hanukkah plays an awesome role in our past. And that is why the Hasmonean victory is highly significant after years of battle. And on Pesach, we defeated the Egyptians who had enslaved us for centuries. I mean, the common factor is very, very obvious. We won each battle. But does that mean that we Jews were better than our enemies? Now, we better be careful. We better be careful about making that claim. Were the Babylonians superior to us when they defeated us in 586 before the Common Era? Or was the Roman culture better? They overwhelmed us. They exiled us. They exiled us to the then known world at the temple's destruction in the year 70. See, Hanukkah is derivative of our winning a war. But we don't stop there. We inherit God's role and we insert it into the picture by lauding God's miracle with our candle lighting ceremony. I mean, those candles have nothing to do with a military victory, do they? Only with the divine role in the process of rejuvenating our faith. And we don't spell rejuvenating J-E-W, right? Yeah. You see, we say God is Kodesh. God is holy. And you shall be Am Kadosh. You shall be a holy people. That's what the text says. So does that imply that being superior to others is what you shall be holy means? You know, most Jews are familiar with the word Kadosh. We just said the Kaddish. We lift the wine of cup and chant the Kiddush. When a loved one passes away, we say the Kaddish and so on. But when Abraham was told that he would father a holy people, an Am Kadosh, the portent of that word was that he shall father a people different from the pagan society in which he was living. Thus, when the Torah says, for example, of the Kohen, the priest, the Kohen shall be holy, it means that his function shall not be better, but different from the other Israelites. The deeper meaning of the word Kodesh, holy, is that God is different from anything else in the universe. God is holy. He is unique, different. For us to be a holy people means that we shall be unique. We shall be different from others in terms of our faith, in terms of our cultural patterns, in terms of our spiritual direction. Not better than others, but different, unique, distinct from others in society. So let's go back to Hanukkah a little bit. It is behind-the-scenes scenario in the Maccabean era. Events not discussed very often, very much. It is those events that gave us the real victory. I mean, even today, these eight candles we light are a message to assimilating Jews who refuse to acknowledge the distinction between Jews and others. Mind you, not a statement that we are better than others, but yes, we are different. Here are those neglected details. Even before Antiochus decided to deny us the privilege of being holy, being different from the pagan world, when the Greco-Assyrians deprive us of studying Torah, of worshiping the one God of Israel, or even putting a mezuzah on our door, even before that, a large group of Jews decided not to be Kodesh, not to be different, not to be what today some characterize as holy. The initial Hanukkah era struggle was between the traditionalist Jews and those who desire to Hellenize, to substitute the popular Greek culture for Jewish lifestyle. They were attracted to it, having lived under the Greek domination for three centuries. I mean, why follow the antics of the Torah when the new up and dynamic Greek way of life had so much to offer? A quick summary will do. Compare, if you will, two mountains, Mount Olympus and Mount Zion. Mount Olympus suggests worship of the human body, ergo, the Olympic Games. Mount Zion is the Jewish symbol of devotion to the human spirit. One account of the deep division of Jews at the time of the Maccabees was that the Kohanim, the priests who ran the temple in Jerusalem, that the priests, wanting to show their admiration of the Greek Olympic style, actually built a sports stadium outside Jerusalem's holy temple. They were the Hellenists. The tradition-oriented priests, those who held on to the essentials of our faith, they had to live outside of Jerusalem in Modin. They were known as the Maccabees, who in essence struggled to remain Kodesh, holy, if you will. Different, unique from the Persian culture, from the Greek culture, excuse me, the pagan culture. I mean, long before the Maccabees fought the Greco-Assyrian armies, Jews loyal to the Torah culture struggled against the Jews who bowed down to the Greek gods, against the Hellenists who turned away from Shema Yisrael. Judah Maccabee never claimed to be better than those against whom his followers struggled. But he was adamant about preserving the rich Jewish heritage. If pagans denied us the ideal to love our neighbor as ourselves, we will do all to preserve that ideal, so that we are Kodesh. We are different from those who say no. They turn down that principle and insist that we must worship only their way. We keep our Jewish identity. We are Kodesh. We do that when we give high priority to the notion of Torah study. If they don't agree with the Talmudic dictum, what is hateful to you, do not do unto others, we have not only every right, but every obligation to struggle against them. It's one thing if outsiders try to remove our Jewish identity from us. You know all the names, be it Haman or the Greco-Assyrians, the Inquisition, Hitler, Stalin, that's bad enough. And we're obliged to do all we can to gain victory over their efforts. If you will, to light a candle every time we defeat those enemies. That's bad enough. But it's even more painful when Jews, such as the Hellenists, in the days of the Maccabees. It is even more painful that contemporary Jews have a tendency to take on that assimilationist posture. Then we call them the Hellenists. Today we call them assimilationists. Today, when our good Christian brothers prepare to celebrate Christmas Eve tonight, to honor their faith? Today, on Hanukkah, how do we manage to stay Kodesh? Not better. Not better, but different from it. You know, the scholar Hillel articulated very well, Im ein ani li mi li. If I'm not for myself, who will be? Of course, he also said, if I'm only for myself, what good it is? What good is it? But the theme is clear. Im ein ani li mi li. If I'm not for myself, who will be? Look, my prior reference to Passover reminds me of the Midrash that says that God knew that even in Egyptian slavery, we kept our Jewish identity simply because we kept our Hebraic names and refused to accept the Egyptians' identities. My friends, Hanukkah may be a time for candle lighting, but the deeper message is that we rejected adopting the value system of other cultures, even if everything around us was anything but Jewish. Do you really think I'm talking about the era of the Maccabees? Or am I talking about America today? Look, you're here, so in a way I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. But what percentage of American Jews can be identified with the Hellenists in the Maccabean era? How many Jewish kids play soccer on Shabbat compared to the number who love to come to the synagogue on Shabbat? Why is the dropout rate from American religious schools the moment a youngster celebrates his bar mitzvah? Why is that dropout rate so high? I finished at age 13. They do that just because they're finished with their studies in Judaism. That's when they become sufficiently mature to really understand, start to understand Judaism. After all, in an adult religion, dealing with anything from business to ethics to sexuality, what do they know at age 13? Continuing study for teens or adults. Continuing study. That's not what's going to make us better. It helps us maintain our uniqueness as Jews, to be Kodesh. When that little flame rises on the Chanukiah, we thrill at the notion that our differences, being Kodesh, that's what makes the difference in how we live in our society. You know, Hanukkah occurred about 250 years prior to the onset of Christianity. But had we lost our right to be Kodesh, to be different, and consequent belief in the idea of monotheism, there would be no Christianity today. If the Greco-Assyrians would have wiped out monotheism, our right to be different, the central focus of our differences, then 250 years later, no one would have believed in the notion of one God, and thus, of course, there'd be no God who had a son. You could make the same argument, by the way, the existence of Islam today. No God, no messenger of God. See, Hanukkah makes a very, very powerful statement. It says that we Jews, if we are Kodesh, if we remain unique, different, we can make a huge difference, not only in the lives of Jews, but of all of society. So let's make Hanukkah the celebration of the positive, creative, resourceful, and inventive faith that Judaism, let's encourage the young and old to continue to study and to practice, not just in theory, but in our daily lives, so that every single day we shall light the candle of faith, that faith that has kept us going for 4,000 years. So Shabbat Shalom and a happy Hanukkah.